Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day once again, wherever you are throughout the length and breadth of Grenada, Carriacou, Petit, Martinique. For those of you listening in New York, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Connecticut, for those of you in London, France, Germany, I know there are many of the students in Morocco, some of you in China, wherever you are. We are today continuing Inside Finance, the Ministry of Finance, the program entitled Giving You an Opportunity to Learn and Understand What's Happening Within the Ministry of Finance here in Grenada every week. And I'm going to be talking to the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Antwine, and we are going to talking things that are happening for June 15th, homegrown, number two, really, that's what it's all about. And there are some serious questions dealing with where we are, growth and development. We take a word from our sponsors, we come right back and begin my discussion right here with Mr. Timothy Antwine, Inside Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. Mr. Timothy, welcome to Inside Finance once again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Pastor Simon, and good afternoon to all of your listeners this afternoon.
It is great to have you back. How was your week?
Hectic, but good. God be praised.
I would think everyone is thinking your name ringing a bell across Grenada every day, I think. You
know. Well, I know. By our task are many, and to whom much is given, much is expected. But as I always pray and believe, with all God, all things are possible. And therefore, that's where I get my strength.
Which is good. What is the mood like inside finance? I know you all have a lot happening as things begin to pull itself together. What is happening? I remember you spoke to us about some sign-off that should be happening. Where are we on those?
Well, I think that there's a very good mood in the ministry right now. There's a lot of anticipation. We've put in a lot of hard work over the last few months, along with, of course, our minister, prime minister and minister of finance, and indeed the entire cabinet and even beyond that, senior managers across the public service, as well as our social partners. I mean, it's really been a team effort. So for us, what is happening or will happen in the next few weeks is really a culmination of a lot of efforts, hard work in terms of technical analysis, preparation, and passage of legislation, which will culminate in the approval, formal approval of Grenada's program by the IMF, then the World Bank, followed by the Caribbean Development Bank. So by the end of June, this month, we would have both the IMF and the World Bank formally approving the support for the homegrown program. Those will be milestones for us. And then in mid-July, the Caribbean Development Bank, CDB, would do the same. And then the European Union will follow. So we're quite excited about the fact that our hard work is paying off. Of course, as you know, our revenues have held up for the first 5 months of the year, which is testimony to the fact that the measures are having the desired effect in terms of improving our fiscal situation. We have seen a reduction in the fiscal gap. We've closed the gap by almost half.
So you're pretty much, last time you reported, it was about 10?
It's around 10 million now, and basically we're going to continue to work hard to bring it down. And it did require a lot of effort, but we're heartened by the progress. I hope our reward sweetens labor. So as we go forward and we get results, we're encouraged, we're energized, and we continue to push on.
Last year, the economy grew by 2.7%, the best performance since 2007. Are you concerned that increased taxes could cause a slowdown in economic activity at a time when the economy has just started growing again. With all the tax being implemented, I think the concern that 2.7% would be eaten away. Talk to us about that.
The reality is that increased taxes do reduce disposable income in the hands of all of us, because we're all paying. There is a distinct possibility that it will have some dampening effect on growth. That's factual. For the most part, that is what tends to happen. That said, I think there are a couple of things we need to observe. First of all, for the first quarter of the year, we actually saw signs of increased economic activity. Tourism arrivals have been up. Obviously, Sandals is contributing to that, among others. I think a lot of the hotels will tell you they had a better first quarter this year than they had last year. We've also seen fish output production go up, exports go up, and there are signs that other areas of the economy have had some growth. Obviously, not at the levels that we want yet. So while the taxes may have a dampening effect, I think it is also important to recognize the fact that we have seen increased economic activity in some parts of the economy for the first quarter of the year. But I think beyond that, we need to understand more deeply what this homegrown program is all about. The reality is that we are making sacrifices. Let us assume that between the revenues that we raise through the increased taxes and the expenditure cuts that we make, that we generate an additional, say, $160 million over the next 3 years of the program. You have to contrast that cost with the benefits that Grenada will receive. The way I see it, Pastor Simon, is that the homegrown program and the taxes that we're paying now is really a temporary subtraction for a significant addition followed by a massive multiplication. Let me explain what I just said.
Yes.
If you think about the taxes as a subtraction, say it's $160 million over the next 3 years, we need to think about what it is that Grenada is gaining. What are the benefits? In terms of budget support, we know for a fact that we're going to get at least $100 million US. That's $270 million EC. But if you add on top of that the relief that we are expecting to get from debt restructuring, we easily could be talking about another $400 million.
$400 million EC or US?
EC dollars at this stage. I'm being conservative. What is my point? $270 million from budget support, $400 million from debt restructuring, $130 million from projects. That adds up to what? $800 million EC dollars.
That's quite a lot of money.
Correct. So you contrast that with $160 million that we're raising in taxes and budget cuts to gain $800 million. That's five times what we're going to get, and what we put in. In other words, if I said to you as a businessman, invest $1, mm-hmm. and you get a return of $6, which means you make $5, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about what you're going to do.
No,
I think that's a very simple proposition, and that is the issue. I don't think we understand fully what this homegrown program. We are leveraging international support. The sacrifice that we're making now enables us to leverage international support, first in terms of budget support, which I explained last week is to do with what comes in to help us with the shortfall. That's at least $100 million US. Then on top of that, we have project support, which is easily going to be another 50, at least 50, probably even close to $100 million US. That's projects themselves. And then you have to add on top of that what you're going to get from debt restructuring. So when you add it all up, you have to look at the costs and you have to look at the benefits. If you think of the taxes simply as a cost, you will see a dampening effect. If you understand what budget support and projects and debt restructuring will bring to the economy, then you will understand the benefits. And in examining this, you have to look at the cost and benefit. It's a cost-benefit analysis. So if you simply talk about taxes without understanding what... Let me put it this way. If we don't raise that $160 million through the taxes and the budget cuts, we do not get that $800 million. We don't get it. So we not only hurt ourselves, but we worse off. That ensures that we have a continually sluggish economy for a long time. So the best way to address that is to make the sacrifice up front, bring in the resources, and then you're in a position to spend on things that we need to spend on, but we cannot spend on. For example, all the time I hear people say, well, the government should spend more in the productive sectors, agriculture, tourism, they should do more in infrastructure. I think we all can agree with that. But the question is, where is the money coming from? If you're spending 70 cents of every dollar on salaries and pensions and the next 30 cents on debt, where is the money coming from to do the things that we all say we want to do? It simply does not exist. So the reality is that you have to do that subtraction to be able to then do the addition, and then followed by a massive multiplication. And that is what this is all about. And I think any analysis that is that ignores what the benefits are is not just fundamentally flawed, but frankly useless for really understanding what is happening at this stage.
In other words, we are cutting to gain. That's what it is.
That
we
is
have
correct.
To raise a small amount and to be able to get us relief from a big amount.
That is correct.
So if I am a person who have a home, let's say a home, they tell me that I have to raise $300 more, but if I raise that, I would get $3,000.
Correct.
So
well, obviously, that's
right.
10 times.
Ten times the amount in terms. So it's something like that.
Right.
Saying that
right.
I need to get this amount of money. Like I go to the bank for a loan. They say you need to raise 30,000 because you want 100,000.
That's your down payment.
That's my down payment.
That's your installment that
my
you
installment.
Put in, your counterpart, and then they give you the rest. And
right.
In our case, I'm saying it is we get in at least five times what we put in.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty obvious what we need to do.
Well, that is clear.
Not that is the $1 raising the $1 is easy, to give the example I'm using.
No.
I mean, finding the $1, the investment, that's a shared sacrifice part. But if you think about the fact that you will gain a net $5, then it's a no-brainer. $160 million versus $800 million. When you add budget support, program support, and debt restructuring, and I'm being conservative, I don't think there's any question of what we need to be doing. And I think people need to fully understand, and that's part of what I'm hoping we're able to do here. Just understand very basic facts about this homegrown program and what it is the government is trying to do, and what we in the Ministry of Finance have been working on for the last several months.
That leads me to my next question. Now, explain this. In March 2013, government announced that it would proceed with comprehensive debt restructuring. Does that mean that government has stopped paying a debt, because we have a huge debt? 1.8 billion, somewhere around there. Now, does that mean we stop paying that because we cannot meet our existing? So where are we on that?
Okay, the debt is around 2.4 billion.
2.4?
Yeah, it's closer to 2.4. The reality, good question. We are actually paying debts. And that's something we need to clear up, actually. Because I think some people assume when the government announced the debt restructuring, it meant that government had stopped paying its debts. That is not so. The government of Grenada is actually paying some debts. Last year, for example, we paid at least $80 million in debts, interest and principal. This year, 2014, up to the end of May, we had already paid about $33 million in debt and debt servicing. Who are we paying? We pay in the IMF. We pay in the World Bank. We pay in the Caribbean Development Bank. We pay in the Kuwaiti Fund. We pay in the OPEC Fund for international development. Why are we paying them? Well, beyond the obvious, the fact that many of them are preferred creditors in the international scheme, the reality is that if we don't pay them, the projects will stop. So the projects that are going on now, for example, the feeder roads project, that does not happen if Kuwait is not paid, Kuwaiti fund. The CDB project that is going on, the schools that are in train, the World Bank projects with the bridges in Guelph and some of the other things that are happening. Those things are only possible because the government of Grenada is paying its debts to the Caribbean Development Bank. The rules of the bank are very clear. If we default, they stop disbursing on existing projects and they do not approve any new projects. What has happened? They have continued to disburse on existing projects and they have just approved a set of new programs for Grenada for the next 4 years. So really and truly, we are paying some of the debts. Obviously, there are debts we're not paying, such as some of our bonds and some of our bilateral Paris Club debt. And those are all being discussed now in terms of the restructuring process.
Okay. Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Antwine, who is the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. And every week, we'll be talking to you, to the Ministry of Finance, Inside Finance, really. He's the one taking the question at the moment, but I'm sure there are other persons that he would send to us to take the question. We take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I continue with the question because I want to talk to him about government wastage. You know, we all say, government wastage, you're wasting a lot. Why didn't cut this? And I heard the Prime Minister answer the question about some government buildings that it should do. Government is paying too much rent. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that. Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antwine.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine, the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Timothy, talk to us about that. Government wastage. Government has been raising revenues. What is government doing about the cost cutting? And you talk about the wastage and so forth, because people talk about a lot of that. A lot of public servants, they think, waste a lot of stuff because it seems that government seems to, they don't care.
Yes, well, that's a big issue. And the reality is that there is waste in government, which we are trying to address at this point in time. So it's raising revenue, but it's also cutting costs, cutting waste. The government has a target of reducing non-personal expenditure. So we're not talking about people now, we're talking about the other things like utilities, water, telecoms, fuel, electricity, and so on, rental, and so on. We're talking about reducing that by at least 20%. Over the last year, we've had some success. We have been able to reduce our telecoms bill, our mobile bill, by about 50%, just under 50%.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
Because we were paying $1.2 million for mobile calls. In 2012, we paid $1.2 million, the government. So we've been able to cut that by almost 50%. We're working now on the fixed line side, because in 2012 we paid $5 million for fixed line. I mean, again, so a total of $6.2 million in telephone bills, basically. So we're working now. We closed a decision on that. That will cut our bill by at least 50%. In terms of rental of buildings, there's been an attempt to reduce that. In the Ministry of Finance, for example, we moved our VAT office back into the financial complex. That saved us $20,000 a month. So that's 20 by 12 is 240 easy. It's a little bit more than that. So at least $250,000 a month just in the Ministry of Finance alone. As a result of moving the VAT office back into the financial complex. Just an example. We've done it in other places in government. In terms of fuel, we've now started a process of installing GPS tracking devices in all the government vehicles to help us to manage, reduce abuse of government vehicles, use of fuel, time, and so on. We piloted that in the Ministry of Finance, and when we piloted in the very first month, we saw a 24% reduction in fuel. Because, of course, once you're monitoring people and people recognize that, then they're going to be more prudent and more careful and make sure that they're doing government business and not doing their own business. So that we're now rolling that out to the entire government service. We hope by the end of this month that we'd have installed it in most of the vehicles in government. Which leads me to say, by the way, a lady met me this week and said to me that she has observed that there's some of our drivers, government drivers, who are sitting in government vehicles running the air conditioned units for a long time. So they're sitting in the vehicle, it's parked, and the AC unit is running. Glasses are up, and the AC unit is running. And she said, well, you know, she's concerned about that because that's wastage. And I agree with her, and that is something we're looking into. And let me just appeal to our drivers, please, given the times we're in, given what we're trying to do, I know it's hot, but please do not sit in the vehicle and let the AC run all day or for an extended period of time. It is better to come and sit in the office and get some AC. If you need to cool down, have some water. We have water receptacles available and so on to cool you down so that you stay hydrated, because that's important for you to keep your energy up as you walk during the day. But we can't afford wastage with people sitting in vehicles and having... If you want to do that in your personal private vehicle and time, that's you. But for government, that's waste. So we have to cut that. Now, the big one is electricity. Because last year, in 2012, we spent about $20 million in electricity.
Wow.
I keep saying 2012 because that's our base year. And we measure against what our achievement, what that year was, and then everything as we measure against 2012. So that's our baseline year. We started some things in 2013. We're moving it further in 2014. But that's the big one. $20 million in electricity. $5 million of that was on street lights. And I don't even know if people understand. Street lights are not free. The state pays for street lights. So yes, they're important for light, for security, for safety, and all of that. But there's a cost. And many of them are not efficient. They're not solarized. They're very low efficiency bulbs and so on. So we're looking at that issue of how we could get more solar units in our street lights. We're also looking at it in terms of government buildings. We've been changing a lot of the lights. We did that in the financial complex where we moved to LED lights. And the government of China helped us with the lights, the fixtures. We're doing the same now in customs. I think we just finished customs, and then we move into the ministerial complex and then the Ministry of Education. So we're trying to make sure we address that. But the truth is that the cost of electricity is very high. So for us to hit the target, we're going to have to do some things with AC units. And ultimately, we have to bring down the cost of electricity, period. Not just for government, but for everybody.
The nation
at large. Business, your households, everybody involved.
Mm.
So we're working on it, and in a future program, one of my colleagues from the Waste Reduction Unit could come and give you a lot more details on what we're actually doing in this area.
But the fact is that you're doing things to help reduce the costs.
Right. The fact is, we are. If we wanted to go more aggressively on it, we'd have to send people home. Right?
So you haven't reached there yet?
Well, no, I think nobody wants to do that. Government doesn't want to do it, and none of the social partners wants government to retrench people. Whether you talk about the labor unions, business community, the churches, the civil society, or government, nobody wants that. So what government is attempting to do is everything in its power to minimize or avoid that by looking at cutting waste and also raising taxes. But you have to do something. You can't say, don't send home anybody, don't raise taxes, pay all your debts. I mean, it's an impossible task. You just have to deal
something
with it.
Something have to give.
Something has to give. And so we're trying to approach it in a very thoughtful, very analytical and very methodical way, with support not just from the Grenadian community, but also international partners.
I understand that you recently visited or represented Grenada at the annual meeting of the Caribbean Development Bank in Guyana. What were the result of those meetings? Because I think it's important. The Caribbean, the Development Bank, have given us a lot. And I know it is a concern in terms of Grenada have not been paying its debt and a number of things has happened. Where are we with the Development Bank?
Well, first of all, I'm happy to report that we're up to date with the Caribbean Development Bank. We've been paying our debts to them.
Finally.
We've been paying. CDB is a very important partner. It's our premier development finance institution in the Caribbean, and we support it. And CDB has been good to Grenada. If you think about after Ivan, but even before Ivan, CDB is a very valued development partner. So we are up to date in terms of our debts to CDB. In May alone, we paid CDB close to $6 million. Mm-hmm. So I was telling you about the debts we paid, $33 million this year. In May alone, I know we paid CDB about $6 million, right? So we're up to date with CDB in terms of our debt. We have no arrears with CDB at this point in time. We're working on other things with them. Now, what happened in Guyana? Well, first of all, we had the board of the Caribbean Development Bank approve Grenada's country strategy, which covers the period 2014 to 2018. That strategy sets out what are the programs, the projects that the bank will support over the next 4 years, for over the next 5 years. And I'm happy to report that strategy was approved by the board while we were in Guyana. In fact, the first meeting on the Monday was that was one of the items that was approved. What does that include or involve? Well, support for the homegrown program, $30 million, $10 million each year. So $10 million in 2014, $10 million in 2015, $10 million in 2016. That as part of the program, that program was approved in terms of the strategy. So that's in the strategy. Also in the strategy, support for Grenada's education system. We have a plan in education called SPEED, Strategic Plan for Educational Enhancement and Development. $10 million is allocated to that, US dollars, to support further development of our education system, whether it is schools rehabilitation, curriculum development, teacher training, or whatever. Those are covered. Student loan scheme through GDB. There's an allocation, indicative allocation of $7.5 million US for student loan for GDB, and that is urgent. So we're working with CDB to try to get that to GDB as quickly as possible. Support for the private sector. SME lending, that's a big push for government right now. And the Prime Minister has been saying one of the things about the homegrown program is that it will give us more resources to help support small business development, which, by the way, is the largest employer in Grenada. It's not government. The largest single employer is really small businesses. They account for at least 40, if not 50% of employment. So we have another $5 million US dollars allocated for SME financing. And then we also have allocations for renewable energy and energy efficiency in government buildings. We want to solarize the public buildings, the Ministry of Finance, the Financial Complex, the Ministerial Complex, the Ministry of Education, and other public buildings, also street lights and other public buildings, health centers, police stations, and so on. So we have a $5 million US dollar allocation there. And there's some other things. We also have an allocation in there for the Solid Waste Management Authority to deal with the landfill. We need to rebuild a cell. There's a serious issue there with the landfill and so on. So those are approved by the strategy covers all of those projects, and that is at least another $35 million US. So I was telling you, you know, it's 34 body support plus programs, projects.
So these are
that's another
the projects.
$35 million. Okay. These are projects. It is separate and apart from body support for the homegrown. So what will happen is that over the next few months, different projects will go to the board for formal approval, and that is what we're working on now with the Caribbean Development Bank. So. That was a very very important development for Grenada. There were other things that while I was there that I dealt with. I met the people from OFID, that's the OPEC Fund for International Development, to discuss the Energy for the Poor project. That's about a $13 million US dollar project, which is going to help with their retrofitting homes, house repair, and also giving them sustainable energy solutions so that they have access to energy, whether that's solar lights, whether that's, you know, looking at the energy needs. We did a pilot 2-3 years ago, maybe 3 years now, and I think that project is intended to really scale up and make sure we touch a lot more people. I also had discussions there with the executive director for the Green Climate Fund about support for Grenada in the same area of renewable energy. For example, we want to be able to provide more support for hotels. So obviously, we want to bring down the cost of electricity. That's a big issue for hotels and for business in general. But we also want to be able to help them to retrofit their operations, the hotels, so that they could bring in more renewable energy, energy-efficient devices, so that they could lower their cost of electricity or their consumption, their spend. So we want to put money through GDB, for example, to allow them to be able to access that. Okay. So we've been discussing that support for that. And I had other discussions with Germany, the British, the Canadians about support for Grenada. And I came away from the meetings, and of course I had very intense discussions with the president of the bank and other senior staff of the Caribbean Development Bank. I came away from Guyana feeling very encouraged, because what I kept hearing is people say, you guys are taking tough decisions, you're doing the right things, we're going to support you. You know, other countries perhaps need to do what you're doing, maybe they're not there yet, but you have, you know, faced your reality, you're taking the tough decisions, and we will support you. And I felt very encouraged by that. In fact, only this week, the British, DFID, was in Grenada, working with Grenada on a program, a bilateral program. The British had been doing a lot of regional programs, but they've now decided to do some bilateral program that is in country with some countries, a few countries. Grenada is one of them that they've selected. And those will be grants. That will be grant money for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So they're actually working on a program now that will start probably in 2015. But they were here this week talking to various stakeholders about the opportunities. And they're going to focus on the area of growth. They're going to focus on climate change issues and, of course, the governance and security issues, which they do with FIU, the police, and so on. Those things will continue. So, again, I felt very encouraged by that week in Guyana and the meetings that were held there.
I'm out of time, really, but I would continue because there is a question I want to raise. Just quickly, though, what are some of the benefits we can expect from the soft loan and the grants that are happening available under the homegrown program?
Well, we kind of mentioned it earlier. I mean, support for small business. That's a big one. Support to help improve our infrastructure, our school system, our education system, because we have to invest in our people, in training and in skills and so on. Those are areas. Support for reducing our energy bill. Those are areas, plus technical assistance in a number of areas, which we can go into now, but next time perhaps we could talk a little bit about. So again, I think the basic proposition is that we're investing $1 and we're getting at least five. And so there is no question about the cost and benefit analysis. It is going to be worth every cent that we spend, every sacrifice that we make in terms of what we're going to get in budget support, project support, as well as in debt restructuring, debt relief. And for that, I think we need to press on for Grenada. At the end of the day, this is all about Grenada and trying to make sure we secure the future, not just of our present generation, but future generations.
All right, great. You have been listening there to Mr. Timothy Antoine. We out of time inside finance another week. The time runs so quickly, you believe 30 minutes just disappeared just like that. But every week we will be here on this station at this time discussing the matter and answering questions about the Ministry of Finance. Also, there is a number that, not a number, I email if persons have questions that they would like to send to you to answer on the program. What's the email address?
The email address is financegrenada@gmail.com. Finance, FINANCE, Grenada, GRENADA @gmail.com. You can send us an email there and we'll be happy to answer you. If you want information, you can go to the government website, www.gov.gd. You look for economic and financial data. You will find information on our debt and our fiscal performance there. Coming soon will be our own dedicated website where you'll find a lot more information. So please feel free to let us know if there are any questions that you have. We'll be happy to try to answer them. And before I conclude, we conclude, Pastor Simon, I would like to wish all fathers a happy Father's Day.
Very sweet. Very sweet. You heard it there from the man himself. Mr. Timothy Antoine, the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Has been a great discussion. Thank you so much. Join us here next week at the same time as we continue the discussion inside finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.